You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I shrunk the audience rating on IMDb. We are talking about the movie Downsizing that there have been variable responses to be sure, out there. I'll be curious to know what you guys thought, because I know when I saw this movie at Fantastic Fest, I walked out of it going, man, I thought that was really smart and that was really cool. And everyone was like, you're stupid and I hate you.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I, you know,
nobody,
to paraphrase, I agree with them.
To movies like that.
I've never seen that before. I was telling JC when I first saw him today, I was like, man, after we do our Star Wars spoiler review, I'm commanding the internet to stop arguing about it. I'm sick of hearing about it. That discussion is done. But, yeah, obviously this is one we are going to disagree on. This is the latest movie by Alexander Payne, who, of course, is one of those guys who broke onto the scene in a rather big way with the movie Election, which, by the way, just came out in his Criterion edition.
Very, very cool. Still my favorite of his, actually.
Yeah, it probably is for me, too, but I really have enjoyed all his films. About Schmidt, Sideways, The Descendants, Nebraska. Maybe I'm just an Alexander Payne guy. Maybe I came in like, fuck you, movie, I'm going to like you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I did, in fact, really enjoy this movie. The premise is it starts off in a world where, you know, with an environmental beat of saying, look, we're getting out of control, we're overpopulating the earth. And so they figured out a way to shrink people down to about, what is it, about 3 inches tall, 4 inches tall,
something
maybe?
Like that.
Yeah. And or give them whole communities they can live in, where obviously, you know, I mean, like, resources, not as big a thing when you're only 4 or 5 inches tall, and the dollar stretches considerably further. So a lot of people live in, like, mansions and stuff. You know, your average, like, your average guy is like, yeah, I got like $30,000 in savings, has got $4 million in
pretty
savings in this world.
Gotta love that conversion.
And Matt Damon is married to Kristen Wiig, where they are, you know, office workers. They just live very middle-class lives. Mm-hmm. And they find out some old friend of theirs, Jason Sudeikis being the notable actor in that duo, has chosen to downsize. And they're like, wow. They, like, come to a high school reunion. And they're like, wow, so you really like it? And they're like, oh, man, it's amazing. So the two of them, they go, you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to take the leap, and we are going to downsize, which, considering the advantages from it, I really can't blame them. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I would, too.
Just getting past that mental block, you're like, oh.
Well, yeah. You'd want to go visit Europe or something first. But,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Know.
Make a bucket list, do it, and then go
and
for
then
it.
Downsize. Yeah. Exactly. It'd be the way to retire. For sure.
Oh, totally.
You'd think like every downsizing community would look like, you know, that part of Florida. But something, and I don't want to say, because honestly, it's I guess it counts as a spoiler. I don't think they did.
No,
they
it's in the,
away
trailer.
The trailer.
In the second trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, basically, at the last minute, Kristen Wiig changes her mind and says, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And essentially just leaves him because he's already shrunk. And she's like, well, I'm not going to shrink. So I guess that's it for our marriage.
Sorry.
I mean, didn't have to be. It's some real interesting sex possibilities.
I was going to say, they just tried it out just to see where it could have gone.
Yeah. So he's in this whole new world, more or less by himself, and he meets up with his upstairs neighbors, played by Christoph Waltz and Udo Kier. Always nice to see both of those actors.
Because Kier is still on Earth, existing.
Yeah. He was actually there at Fantastic Fest.
For this film?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And
he had something else, too.
Yeah, he had a couple other movies.
Oh, okay. I was like, just up for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like, at first I assumed they were gay, but apparently they're not. They're just like older playboy European.
I thought he was
types.
Like his sidekick or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a sidekick.
But they're like rich European party boy types, older party boys who are constantly throwing parties. And Damon, like, for lack of anything else to do, ends up getting sucked into their world and starts learning about some new stuff, including the next morning when the cleaning lady shows up. He forms this weird connection with her. Who is a Vietnamese activist who was forcibly shrunk by her own government.
A political prisoner, wasn't
she? Yeah, political prisoner. Yeah. And they were like, well, we're just going to shrink you, and now you're not going to be able to do anything, which played by Hong Chau. And they formed this very strange bond that I think is the dividing point for most people where this movie loses.
See, mine's later.
Is it? Okay.
Mine is later.
Yeah. It really gets into like, hey, guess what? Not everyone who's downsized lives in a fucking mansion.
Yeah.
Some of these people are still living in, you know, shitholes.
And
at the very least, they're not rat infested.
No. But they're, you know, they're on the outskirts of like leisure land.
There are the same divisions of like, you know, society there that there are in regular society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They show that, much like real life, for every mansion or every community that has nothing but mansions, like somebody's got to clean them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like that. You remember, what was it? A Restaurant at the End of the Universe, I think, the Douglas Adams book, where they were like, all the rich people, they built three ships and we're sending out everyone to this other galaxy because the world is going to be destroyed. Yeah. And we're sending out, each ship will have a different society class. And the first ship is nothing but the people who, like, you know, who clean the bathrooms and are telephone cleaners. And, you know, and they're like, okay, we're going to send you first because we want to make sure everything's ready for us when the rest of us get there. Y'all know how to do all those type jobs, you know, how to build stuff. And they send them off, but it was all a lie. They were just trying to get rid of the lower class, and then the entire Earth is wiped out by a disease contracted from a dirty telephone.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was a funny bit. But I personally connected with this because I did like the way it actually felt like it had something to say, that it used its metaphor in a sort of very, I thought, very smart science fiction way.
I think you're right, but I think it eventually stops doing that.
Okay.
Once they, I don't want to say spoiler, there comes a time when they make a decision to do something, a big plot point. And as soon as they said, I thought, oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. Because I think the movie becomes, strays from its like sort of socioeconomic commentary of how there's, you know, the idea that there's no paradise, there's no sort of, you know,
That's
utopia.
That's kind of the point for me where when his wife decides not to downsize, and then here he is stuck in this new life, and his life
which is kind of the same life he had before. Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have found things to do.
Yeah.
I'm like, you live in this giant mansion with all these awesome toys and tons of money. Believe me, I'd get over it.
That's also kind of an indictment on the character then, because if he didn't give a shit enough about his own life to try to make it better, if he just gave up and...
Well, it's a pretty dark place, you know.
Yeah.
Loved his wife.
Yeah.
It's like, never going to see her again. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it is definitely that moment where the movie takes a tone from being very light and kind of cute and funny to being a pretty dark movie.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's moments of sunshine throughout it here and there. There's some laughs. Mm-hmm. But this is definitely more of a much darker movie than I think that the trailers lead you to believe you're getting into.
It is. I think also the humor is kind of weird. Like, you know, I remember at one point the cleaning lady, whose name is N'Gok.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says, she mentions an off character who dies off camera because when he was being shrunk, someone forgot to take out a tooth. And it explodes.
Yeah.
And I thought, are we supposed to laugh at that?
It's kind of a gruesome idea.
Yeah. I was like, because I'm just picturing that. And I'm like, okay. I'm just picturing this big tooth where a head should be.
Ew.
And it, yeah. And
a hell of a way to go.
I just thought it was, the humor was sort of off for me. It got off toward the end.
Okay.
You know? I think they have a lot of fun with the premise in terms of the visuals.
I mean, it definitely feels like it's three different movies. There's the movie that is about the socio-economic inequality, and there's the movie that is about, the premise in and of itself, the downsizing.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute and lighter and feels like it's going to go someplace goofy. And then there's the third act movie, which is like basically saying like it really doesn't matter what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we don't even know what we're doing anymore. I think they were afraid to stay and explore the second movie, you know? Or maybe they felt they took it as far as they could, but...
See, that's how I felt about it. I was like, well, where are you going to go from this that doesn't end with, like, that doesn't take the movie into let's start a revolution or something?
Yeah.
Are you going to have these characters, like, start reading the Communist Manifesto and take over?
Yeah,
like,
pretty much. Down?
It's like, at that point, you're like, well, shit. We got to come up with something else for these characters to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's also kind of, like, that was my confusion with, like, the middle act. After he loses his wife and in theory half of his money, like one does in a divorce, that should still translate to several million dollars for him, and he just wasn't living that life.
Well, I get the feeling it wasn't so much that he didn't have the money, he just chose not to live that life. Like, there's a, because he goes from that giant mansion, but he's there all by himself.
Yeah, he planned that life for that him and his wife.
He's like, that whole place is designed for him and his wife. I get the feeling he's like, well, I don't need any of that. I don't want to be reminded of it. I'm just going to go and get an apartment.
It could just be the sort of thing where my expectations were so one way because of the trailers, and then I was delivered almost three different movies.
It felt like episodes of almost like seasons of a TV show, the way it would
it
go.
It really did.
The character progressing. That's one of the things I found interesting about it, though. It was jarring, but I was like, well, you keep doing things I really didn't expect, movie.
It certainly was predictable, no, but I think the first movie, if we call it, is really the only one that really feels like an Alexander Payne movie.
Yeah.
To me,
anyway. Yeah.
And maybe that's why the other ones don't work as well, because it was outside his comfort zone a little bit. I don't know.
He's always been that guy who's like, finds the agony inside of the funny, you know? Like, all his movies have this point where they stop being funny and you realize how truly fucked up they really are.
Yeah.
You know, like, you remember that moment in Election when you stopped laughing?
Yeah.
And oh, fuck, this is horrible, what's happening.
For me, it's when she tears off the mural or that sign.
Yeah.
I thought, well, shit, this chick is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, she's not just being funny. She is, like, deranged.
By the way, rewatch that movie. That movie is more timely now than it ever has been.
I can imagine it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well worth reading.
Reese Witherspoon's asked, like, what do you think your character would be doing now in that movie? She's like, oh, she'd be running the tea party.
Yeah, probably. Probably. All right. Well, guys, let's go to final thoughts. JC, what do you think?
Was a little disappointed with this. More than willing to give it a second chance once it comes out on video. I'll probably warm up to it more, that my expectations will be a little bit more in line with what it is I'm going to see. There's definitely some promise to the idea of this movie and what it can deliver. And so I think if it was, you know, viewed in a different light, that expectation can be met. And so, yeah, I think upon second viewing, I might warm up to it more. But yeah, it was just disappointing overall.
I mean, did you like enough of it that you could see a second viewing?
Yeah, I mean, I'll most of the time I'll give a movie a second shot. Like, I had to have, like, really hated it. I didn't, like, really hate this. I was just disappointed. Anything I'm disappointed in, I'll see if I can warm up to it a bit. But yeah, some of the performances didn't really work for me. It's weird that Hong Chau was nominated for Golden Globe, because I didn't really like her performance that much. But
it's very she plays it in a very sort of brash, loud, almost sort of like ear jarring sort of way.
Yeah. But yeah, in the end, I would give it maybe 6 out of 10 giant bottles of Absolute Vodka,
which we never actually saw.
We never saw that. I was waiting for that.
I was like, that whole scene was not in the movie. I know. I kept going, like, I want to see that.
Yeah,
I want to be
at
that party.
It's like, how did they work that in there?
Yeah,
but no.
Major expensive product placement.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Gosh,
Frank, what do you think?
I'm gonna disagree with JC and say that Hong Chau is the film's only redeeming feature.
Wow.
For me, yeah. I think that she's the only one that's painted as a real character, a real person. And I know that a lot of critics have called her character racist because of the accent, because of the loudness, and because of that. But for me, I know a Vietnamese woman who is just that way, and that's her social experience. Hmm. And I don't know how you would portray somebody. I think it'd be inauthentic to have, you know, a character who's gone through those experiences and not have her come off that way.
Have a problem with the performance, but I'm saying it was that way.
I think it had to be. I don't think it would have been false and sort of self-conscious and yucky had it been like sort of play a little more,
Me love you a long time or something.
Yeah, so I thought I'd play down, you know?
Yeah.
But I, the reason I don't have a problem, I don't find her character racist is because her character is painted as intelligent, and she's been victimized, and yet somehow she's not a victim.
Yeah.
You never look at her and like feel sorry for her. I look at her and I thought, oh, she's so inspiring, and she's got such strength and such dignity, and she like brings me to tears.
That's what one of the key things that I think works the best for me in this movie is that watching Matt Damon realize everything that's wrong with his life while getting to know her and seeing.
Yeah, that, exactly. Like what he gets from her. And, you know, I mean, she gets something from him as well because she is, you know, it's mutual attraction there. Because
it's Matt Damon.
It's Matt Damon. But she really is the only redeeming feature of the movie for me because she's the only thing that feels real. She's the only, like, you know, real character. She's, yeah. And so I'm glad that she's nominated. She's one of my top picks, actually, this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, I'm sorry, I didn't like Tonya or Lady Bird in terms of the supporting performances, so... But
you have to apologize to me. You have to apologize to the rest of the Austin Film Critics Association.
Sorry, not sorry, guys. I mean, what can I say? But anyways, the rest of this movie is a hot mess, but it's a kind of a hot mess where I wouldn't be opposed to watching it again, if not for no other reason, for Chow. But on the whole, I got to give it 3 out of 10 big yellow roses.
You know, I'm going to concede totally that I do feel this is a failed experiment. But I think it's so fascinating as an experiment and what it's trying to accomplish, and that there's so many good things that are happening during it, that regardless, I really enjoyed watching it. I was like with it, like, wow, what are you going to give me next, movie? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it does, especially that divide between the second and third act. It's a weird plot choice that they make, and to totally stop the movie dead in its tracks, turn it the other way, and go, now go that way. I was like, what, really? All right. And it's certainly as bleak as all fuck.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
oh my God. So I get why a lot of people were turned off by this, but to me it felt like a lesser episode of Black Mirror or something, you know what I mean? Like where it takes a technological thing and then finds a way to add some nightmare to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I said, overall I did enjoy it. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 times you realize, fuck, they never made smaller versions of my PlayStation. I've been upset. You're like, what do you mean I can't replay the Uncharted series?
Gosh.
Damn it!